Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Good morning, millennials. Welcome back to the morning. I'm really struggling. Welcome back to the Toast. Happy Tuesday. Hope everyone's having a fabulous day thus far. Hey, Jax, are you having a fabulous day thus far?
Our day could not be more fabulous.
More joyous.
Thus far. We're recording a little later today because this morning we had a very special occasion. We were celebrating a simcha, the bris of our nephew.
And they are simchas. They are happy occasions, but they're really like kind of emotional and tough because the bebe is crying and crying and crying and you really can't do anything about it.
No. And I know you guys weren't there, but let me just replay it for you. Snip.
Pretty much that's how it went. That's why Jackie and I, if you're watching on YouTube, which you should be, we look so unbelievably gorgeous and sickening. We're both wearing dresses and we have our hair done and our makeup done and we've got our big heels on.
Got our big heels.
So it's freezing in this studio and I'm going to cover up with a blanket, but I just wanted everyone to see the fabulousness that is Jackson Claude on this gorgeous Tuesday morning.
Right. And we were thinking about changing for the show, but it's like, why do we have to be slobs if we're wearing fabulous outfits? Like, why can't we wear the fabulous outfits on the show?
Well, we can do whatever we want, but I do feel like I am my funniest when I feel like a slob. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, so it'll be interesting to see how today's...
It's probably going to be our least funny episode to date.
Goes in shapewear.
100%. I'm actually not wearing any shapewear. I didn't bring any. Isn't that crazy?
That is crazy. I can't breathe.
I'm so sorry. We've got a fab show. We've got Fast Five, no TV recap tonight, today. And today's episode is up a little bit later, but like we were celebrating the gift of life, so everyone can wait a minute, you know?
Yes, they can. No TV recap, but I did finish my program, The Empress.
Not the program.
It was so good. I have to read a book about Cece now. Like I can't wait till season two to know Cece's fate, even though I do know a little bit. Once I finish the book that I am currently embroiled in, then I have to be reading the book for the redheads. And then I'll be reading about Cece, I think, The Accidental Empress by Allison Pataki.
So there is no TV recap, but I did start watching the new season of Love is Blind and I'm not going to finish it because it's really just not my favorite show. Like it's just not. However, there was a moment that I want to tell you about that like you will find so funny.
I mean, I sat in for 2 seconds and it made me actually want to watch this season.
Well, I really am enjoying it because one of the girls who gets engaged and who... is I think becoming a fan favorite is a plus size girl and they never include plus size people. And like, that's a real factor in dating blind. Like, so I really appreciate it. And like, I think she has like the best guy and she's Israeli too, which like we just love. But
did they meet?
Yeah.
And he's all about it.
Like he's like, oh my God, you're so beautiful. Like,
Yay. I told you he was going to think. So that's the scene that I saw.
Yeah.
And Claudia was like, saying, I don't know if he knows.
Right. Like it's, I do feel like it's something you share. Like if you, I don't know.
I feel like they don't show us this, but I do feel like you describe a little bit what you look like over the hours of talking to someone. Like, I think I would say I have red hair.
Right. It's the same kind of thing.
Right.
Well, that's not the moment though I wanted to tell you about. There was this like cringe moment where I was so confused and I was curious if anyone else is this one girl. I think her name is Raven. She's like, I have to tell you something. And everyone has like something like a burden or something they want to share. Like one girl was like, you know, I was an egg donor for 8 different families. So like there's potentially over 100 of my biological children. A lot of guys aren't into that. The guy was like, that's fine with me. So everyone has like a thing. So this girl was like being really dramatic about her thing. And she goes, I work in the service industry on the weekends. And the guy was like, so like you strip? I thought she was saying she's a prostitute. Mm. And she was like, no, like I bartend and stuff. And he was like, okay. And she was like, yeah, and just like a lot of guys like have really not been happy with that. It was so dramatic. Like for what? I was like, what am I missing? I'm like, is this a weird way of saying like, I'm a prostitute? Like it was such a weird moment.
That is weird.
And she was like, no, I'm not a stripper. And it's like, well, that's what you sounded like.
Yeah.
She bartends on the weekends. Like millions of people. It was the weirdest thing.
That is really weird.
I'm not going to finish it just because like it's a lot of episodes and there's really only one couple that like I'm actually interested in. But people seem to really be enjoying the season more so than they've enjoyed previous seasons.
That's great.
Oh, good. A button on my dress already fell off.
Oh, good thing you had that extra sack of buttons that you pulled off before.
Like, why is everything in my life broken? And this dress is brand new.
I don't know, but it looks great on you.
Thank you so much. It
looks so beautiful.
Thank you, Auntie Sack. Michaela's really gotten good at saying our names. Obviously, Jackie's most because you live here. Auntie Sack, Auntie Sack. And for me, Auntie Claudia, Auntie Claudia. It is like hearing my name come from the lips of an angel. Like there's really no sound more beautiful except for my own voice. But
it's of course.
Pretty good.
Of course.
Was there anything else you wanted to chat about before we dived in? Like, good stories today.
We do have good stories. Book update. I'm reading The Princess Spy, which is that history book by the man that I was talking about. Mm. And it's, so what happened was, last week I read historical fiction about Hedy Lamarr, and I came to find out afterwards that, like, the author took some artistic liberties, left out some stuff. And I'm like, well, that's annoying. I want to know the true story. Like maybe historical fiction, like I need to be reading more history because they really improv too much. And I want to know, I know this is riveting. So try to keep your eyes open.
I'm literally, my eyes are glazed over. Totally. Yeah.
Like so rude.
It's so rude.
It's so rude. I don't complain about a lot, but no,
it's so rude of me.
And it's not even like pretend to be interested. Just be interested in what your sister's saying.
It's so rude of me, but also like it's hella boring. Like
it's really not. Not for the readers out there.
Okay.
I've been silenced. Thank you.
Okay, so we're moving on?
Yeah.
No, finish your story.
No, I want to move on.
Okay, so we have a fast five today. Some really sad news. I'm assuming it's a story, Leslie Jordan.
Yeah.
So sad, so we'll talk about that. And we'll just talk about things, mostly ourselves and mostly the kids. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Are you gonna do that the whole time? Okay, well, I guess I could then kind of like do a one-woman show if you're just gonna be mm-hmming me the whole time. Finish the thing about your book, like come on.
No. Now you don't get to hear it and everyone's gonna just be on the edge of their seats all day.
Okay.
Just wondering.
Maybe you'll
why I chose this book.
Maybe you'll put some like extra like info and details on your Instagram. That's a good way. We can drive people to your Instagram.
Oh, now she's trying to butter me up.
Now I'm trying to help. Yeah, because you're clearly mad. Like you're clearly pressed. Meanwhile, I didn't even say anything until you called me out. I was just being like agreeable.
Agreeable.
Mm-hmm. So
it's fine.
So you're not sharing. Like you're going to make this a whole thing and you're not going to share.
I'll share it for everyone else.
Yeah, don't do it for me.
I don't even care if you're listening or not. You can leave the room for all I care. No, so then I was like, I want to read the history about someone, not someone's interpretation. Please stop saying Just stop. And so this book is straight facts, as Lionel states. I think that's his name in the beginning of the book.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, like that's how I talk. Like that's how I converse. Like if you don't like it, like that's on you. That's how I talk, okay?
Okay.
You're not gonna silence me now.
And I'm finding it to be a little dry. Where's the ad-libbing? He even said at one point, like every conversation that happens in the book is directly taken from a correspondence. There's no fiction here. And now I understand why they add a little fiction to these things because it's a little dry. But I'm gonna trust the process. And I'm going to finish the book.
TTP, man. Just the process.
And if anyone's read it and liked it, please continue encourage me because I'm 18%. So that seems like a waste.
For sure.
To back off now.
100%. 100%. Thank you for sharing. And I'm sorry that my feigned interest wasn't enough for you. But like I can only like fake it so much until, you know.
I guess my issue is like I never have to fake it for you.
Well, maybe it's because I talk about interesting things.
No, that's not it.
No, but like. But like, what do I talk about that like you truly like don't care?
It's just like, no, it's not that I listen. Like the thing is, I never don't care about what you're saying.
That's you're so sweet. Saying. Okay, so what you're saying is you're better than me. Okay, can we move on?
Sure.
Also, Jackie and I made a TikTok today, and I just feel like we're kind of like breaking the internet. We were just like showing off our outfits, being cute, making the bris about us. And if you want to check that out, like you definitely should. Oh, also, we didn't really even talk about you know, privately, let alone publicly, kind of how, you know, me, a childless woman, kind of became like the face of motherhood yesterday.
You really did.
Yeah. Honestly, I was really glad that the episode resonated with so many moms. And like, we got tagged in so many stories, people being like, truly, thank you. Like, I was listening to this while breastfeeding. So I wanted to reiterate that point. Like, stay-at-home moms, we see you.
Yeah. And I know that we have so many listeners who are stay-at-home moms, and I figured they'd appreciate being seen yesterday. But I was really moved by how moved everyone was that we just took a moment to appreciate our SAHMs out there.
Also, a moment to appreciate the working moms, because that's fucking hard too. Like, being a full-time working mom, but then also have to, you know, be a parent morning and night, and then like leaving your child, which is also really hard.
Yes, definitely.
Just for moms in general.
I just was reading an interesting article about like the new roles of like men and women, especially as pertaining to the family, and mm-hmm. how even women who work, like, instead of being stay-at-home moms, like, wound up picking up a double shift because they still have to cook and clean and do all and take care of kids.
It's both.
And so it's like kind of a raw deal.
No, that's what I've kind of learned as I've grown up and like everyone around me is having children. Like, being a mom, raw deal. Like, of course, the gift of life is such a blessing and we should all be so lucky. But like, normalize talking about the bad parts of it too.
Yeah. No, the gift of life is the greatest gift, really. And that's why you put up with everything else.
That's what makes it worth it.
Yes.
And that's what makes you beautiful. Oh, I saw this funny ass video of Ellen DeGeneres at the Harry Styles. He's, you know how he did an MSG residency? Mm-hmm. He started one in LA. I think it's at the Forum.
Jason Marie was there.
Yeah, Jason Marie was there. And Ellen was there, you know, with her, you know, fancy seats, and somebody was videoing her listening to That Was What Makes You Beautiful. And like, it was one of those videos where like, you're watching someone pretend to know the words, like, and it was of the hook. It was, that's what makes you. And she was like,
watermelon.
Yeah. It was like so cringe. I personally feel extremely uncomfortable watching people pretend to know the lyrics to songs. Like, either just like, don't sing or know the words.
Don't sing. It's totally fine.
It's so embarrassing. And if I'm ever caught like on video or just like in real life, like, flubbing the words, I get so embarrassed because I'm like, people know us as the girls who like know the lyrics to all the songs.
Girls.
We retain so many lyrics. Mm-hmm. So if I'm ever like caught not knowing, I feel like hella embarrassed.
Or like when someone's like videoing in the club and then it goes to you and like
you don't know that part. Yeah,
just take yourself home.
That actually happened to me with Shannon Ford. We were at a birthday party and my song started to play because it was my friend's birthday party and he put it on a playlist, which was really nice. And I'm filming Margot and me, and then I go to Shannon, and like, it wasn't like the chorus, and like, Shannon didn't know the words, which was like deeply offensive, but I did restart the video at the chorus and then she knew the words.
That's all you got to do.
Because I'm a good friend.
You are. I mean, I sure it was about her.
I did it for her. Yeah, of course.
As you do all things.
For others. So I feel like we can dive in to the Fast Five.
Yeah. Without further ado.
Where are you? Theo loves his auntie.
Where is Brew? The Streis brothers love a Briss.
Where is Brew? Probably with his auntie, because he spends more time with me and Theo than he does with you.
It's
while
true.
I'm here.
While Claudia's here, Bruno can Obsessed. Always be found in her room. That's where he chooses to spend his time. I'm so happy for him. Like,
yeah, me too.
That's what I promised him when I told him you guys were coming. I said, Bruno, it's adventure. Like, go. Do your thing.
I'm laying in bed last night and like, Theo mindlessly like gets in bed and like lays in my lap. I don't even like look at him. And then 20 minutes later, I'm scrolling TikTok. You come in and you're like, Bruno. And I look at my lap and it's Bruno in my lap. I just assumed it was Theo.
Yeah, no, Theo
Bruno's
was
obsessed.
On the floor in the luggage.
Bruno's obsessed
with his auntie.
But
he's also
it.
Obsessed with besting Theo.
Yeah, like becoming auntie's number one just to spite Theo.
Yeah, like Theo can't have anything that Bruno, like if I give Theo a scratch, Bruno shows up shaking his tail.
Yeah.
Hey, what about me? Where's my scratch?
Belly time.
Yeah, because I explained it to you, like Bruno's taking a backseat to Harry, obviously. Mm-hmm. Like he knows I'm not the number two boy in this group because things change. But he won't think any further than number two. He must be number two now, and Theo cannot come anywhere near that number.
I respect the hustle. I do.
But he's like not that way with Magnolia. It's so funny. Like he literally comes for Theo's jugular.
No, it's chivalry with Magnolia. She's a lady.
Yeah. Theo's just like, bro, calm down. Right, we're all friends.
No, bro, like stop trying so hard. That's really what it is.
My Bryce.
So here are the Fast Five stories that you need to know before you wake up and take a bite out of your toast. How's that?
Gorgeous.
Well, today's gorgeous episode is brought to you by Kitsch. Do you want beautiful hair with minimal effort? Kitsch feels the same way. They upgraded familiar products into game-changing essentials that beauty enthusiasts swear by. From satin pillowcases to time-saving towels, Kitsch knows hair care doesn't stop in the shower. So Kitsch is the hair brand that you just need. Like, period, end of story. I've had products from Kitsch before they became a sponsor. Then I got a ton of stuff when they became a sponsor. And I didn't even realize, like, the hair stuff that I loved before was from Kitsch. Like, the claw clips are some of my favorite. Whatever your budget is, whatever your skin type or hair type is, Kitsch believes that you deserve indulgences at affordable prices, and that's morning, noon, and night. So it started in 2010. Now they're a female-founded brand that are carried in over 20,000 retail locations. And here are their bestsellers: satin pillowcases, caps, and eye masks. So if you wake up with, like, ratty hair and, like, wrinkles on your face, it's because your pillowcases are, like, leaving indentations in your hair and on your face. And I'm a really rough sleeper. And so when I got a satin pillowcase, it changed my hair. Like, I didn't have to give myself a full blowout and recurl every strand of my hair when I woke up in the morning. The satin is made of vegan materials. It's cruelty-free, and it's so good for your hair. And the eye masks are so good for your skin while you sleep. They also make shampoo and conditioner bars. So it's bottle-free beauty. They're bars. It's really sickening. And it's actually, like, really fun to do. They also have the heatless satin curling rollers that I saw everyone using on TikTok. So I bought before they became a sponsor. If you're, like, really conscious of not damaging your hair with heat, which I think a lot of us are, especially the older we get, the heatless curlers from Kitsch are fabulous. They also have the quick dry hair towel. So if you retain a lot of water in your hair, like some of us take showers at noon, and by noon the next day our hair is still wet, you can use one of their quick dry towels. It works like a dream. You won't even realize how quickly your hair is drying. It's fabulous. And of course, their classic hair ties and scrunchies, which are all super premium. I was using one yesterday. So Kitsch is offering you 30% off your entire order at mykitsch.com/toast. That's right, 30% off anything and everything at mykitsch, which is mykitsch.com/toast. mykitsch.com/toast for 30% off your order.
Thank you, McClardia.
You're welcome.
First story, Adidas drops Kanye West after anti-Semitic comments. Adidas officially has ended its partnership with Kanye after he made numerous anti-Semitic comments. They released a statement today saying, quote, Adidas does not tolerate anti-Semitism and any other sort of hate speech. Ye's recent comments and actions have been unacceptable, hateful, and dangerous, and they violate the company's values of diversity and inclusion, mutual respect, and fairness.
It took them a long time to do it.
Yeah, I think it's been 2 weeks.
And I saw, you know, like, yearly revenue for Adidas when it comes to Kanye is almost $300 million. So this wasn't like a small decision they had to make.
Right.
It did take them quite a long time. And this now has Kanye officially removed from the Forbes billionaires list because that deal is worth so much money to him.
Got it. I have so many different thoughts and feelings about this whole thing. On the one hand, like, not even on the one hand, I don't know if I'm the only person who, like, didn't care whether Adidas drops him or not. Like, it doesn't change anything. And it makes me feel even, like, now experiencing it and watching this all play out, like, makes me feel even more sure, like, canceling people doesn't help anything, doesn't solve anything. It's not any better for the Jewish people that Kanye doesn't have a deal with Adidas. Like, I don't care, especially when it's, like, 2 weeks later. I saw, like, people saying they've dropped athletes sooner for using steroids.
Right. Okay, let's talk about his talent agency, CAA. After 2 weeks, dropped him. Your girl got canceled in 2018 for tweets I wrote in high school, and I was canceled that morning. Like, it was less than an hour. So everyone, that makes it feel, like, so performative. I think, though, for a lot of people, like, Jewish, like, Ben and his friends, they love Adidas. Like, I don't think a lot of people is from the Jewish community, like, are going to be really comfortable and down to be, like, spending a lot of money on Adidas sneakers, like, knowing that, like, this is not something they, like, immediately want to stay away from. Like, if one of our TNN shows was saying crazy fucking shit, like, you don't want to be associated with that. It's not canceling, but it's more like, ew, like, go away.
And also, like, we live in a cancel culture.
Right. These are the consequences.
Right. So it's odd that it took them so long. For anyone else saying anything else, it would have been much more swift, or doing anything else, as it's been in the past. It's not like Adidas, like, doesn't subscribe to the same corporate law that everyone else does.
And a lot of people are like, well, you know, as someone who doesn't believe in cancel culture, like, how do you reconcile this? Is it only because you're Jewish? And I think that's a good question.
This makes me believe in cancel culture even less, because I'm watching this and I'm like, this changes nothing. This fixes nothing. This only has Kanye digging his heels in deeper. This only proves what he's saying to his fans is true, because it seems like the Jews control everything.
Right.
Like, this solves nothing, I think. And for the people who are like, yes, finally Adidas shopped him, it's like the smallest of potatoes, and you're missing the whole big picture.
The whole point. But I just, to finish my point is like, I feel like cancel culture went to a place where it's like, if you had, you know, old tweets from your past come back, like everything you had worked for gets taken from you. If you said something that you didn't mean to be offensive, but obviously it came out offensive or it offended people, like intent versus impact, you'll immediately Goodbye. Lose everything.
Good day, sir.
Right. So it's like, for me, I feel like those three types of scenarios leave no room for grace, like no room for people maybe just like genuinely making a mistake. In the case of Kanye, no mistakes were made. It hasn't even doubled down, quadrupled down. He did the Piers Morgan interview. Like, it's clear that this is how he feels. It's not like an incident where somebody made a mistake. And in incidents where people have made mistakes or things from their past come up, we're so quick to act. Like, we can't strip them of their accomplishments fast enough. Like, we can't do enough. And so for Kanye, it's been like, yeah, this is how I feel. I'm not taking it back. I'm actually going to go even further. All of that. And that takes 2 weeks. That's why cancel culture is flawed. Because this is not cancel culture. Cancel culture is stripping someone of all of their right to make a living, all of their accomplishments for a mistake that they made.
Right. And that they're... And that they're sorry for. Easily apologizing
and,
for.
And really eager and open to understand why it was wrong and move on.
And just not accepting people's apologies.
This is like, not that.
No.
This is just straight up anti-Semitism.
Yeah.
And I know we have like kind of differing opinions on this. Like, I do, and I hear what you're saying. For me, like logging onto social media and seeing like finally, like everyone is talking about anti-Semitism, I am grateful. And
they're not talking about anti-Semitism. They're talking about Kanye's anti-Semitism.
I know. And I just like, this is in an ideal world for me, this would be a gateway to learning about everything else. But I just think like the obsession with Kanye, it's like, it's kind of missing the point.
No. And like, I understand why you feel like logging on and seeing everyone's posting, like, I support Jewish
because
people.
Because it feels like forever, like literally we were like, that was never going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah. And that nobody cared. And so yes, it's nice to see that people care, but like in the picture, the whole picture of anti-Semitism, like it's not.
This is small potatoes.
This is, and it's, everyone agrees like Kanye is
wrong and nuts. And yeah.
So I don't feel like it does anything. And to me, like, the worst part is that people have now feel like they've helped. Oh, I posted that. I did my part. Anti-Semitism is solved.
Right.
Let's move on, when things are worse than they've ever been.
So I guess.
And what is alarming for me is not just like what Kanye's saying, but I don't think he's really converting anyone to being anti-Semitic. I think it's.
They're coming out of the woodwork.
It's highlighting how many people are anti-Semitic.
That's very true.
When you look at the comments and anyone who posted, any celebrity who posted, I said that black thing with the blue font, I support my Jewish friends, and look at the comments.
Yeah, no, you're right. People like getting more comfortable in their anti-Semitism.
Yeah.
That's so true. So I guess like in an ideal world, this would be a gateway, and like anyone who's, you know, wanting to do more and not just be like, oh, I fixed Kanye, I'm done. I guess we would implore you to like keep looking, because this is nothing compared to what goes on every day.
Every single day.
In Jewish communities.
And it's so bizarre to me, not bizarre, but it's like interesting to me what gets circulated, you know?
Yeah.
Every single day I follow accounts like Stop Anti-Semitism, The Israel Files, Stand With Us. Every single day in my newsfeed, I see instances of anti-Semitism in this country.
Violence.
On college campuses.
Yeah.
Violence, graffiti, Jews will die,
swastikas.
Every single day. People on the highway honk if the Jews made COVID, whatever.
Right.
And just this time, it's that one picture that everybody's sharing of
the
honk if Kanye was right, the highway thing. And it's like, there are so many things like this that nobody cares about.
Yeah.
Why so, now? Why this picture?
I agree. I honestly, like, I just think you need to lower your standards. Like, well, for
real.
People are talking about it, and like, we can nitpick and stuff, but like,
it's just this cycle of something get sparks outrage. Everybody posts the same thing. They feel like they've marked themselves as safe because I showed my support. And it's like, that's just not support.
No, there's a myriad of issues when it comes to like social media activism.
And it's for,
and we
it
could do a whole.
Every few months, there's something else that comes up.
A different
up
cause.
Like, you know, you didn't help. And the worst part is that like, you actually think that you did. And so you're not going to do anything to actually help.
Okay, so what can people do to help?
To anti-Semitism, support Israel.
Yeah.
Support Israel. And anyone who tells you Israel's engaging in ethnic cleansing or genocide or any of that nonsense, call them out. That is a lie. And don't just take my word for it. Like, go read the history. It's in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's history. Study up on it. Learn about Jewish history. Learn about why Zionism is not a dirty word and why it's so important for the Jewish people to have a home state.
Mm-hmm.
That, to me, that's how you can help. And that means everything to me.
Educate yourself on the Holocaust. 1 in 2 people don't know what the Holocaust is. Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, that's good.
And don't, like, stand for people and their lies.
I think this is a great start. How's that?
I just don't think it's the start. I think it's the end.
I'm choosing to be a hopeful girly, a positive girly.
And so, I don't know why, like, at Adidas shopping con, like, doesn't
right
mean anything.
Especially after so many weeks, it's like, oh, you're really only doing it because of pressure.
You really hoped it would.
Not because you actually care.
You hoped it would blow over and that you could get away with it and fly under the radar. So, that's the latest with Yay.
More like nay.
Next story. Leslie Jordan has died at the age of 67. Leslie Jordan died on Monday morning after a car crash, his rep confirmed to Page Six. The famed comedian was driving in Hollywood when it was later suspected he suffered some sort of medical emergency and crashed his BMW into the side of the building. The American Horror Story star was also known for his work in Will and Grace, Hearts of Fire, Call Me Cat, and of course his viral Instagram content during the pandemic that brought a lot of joy to a lot of people.
Oh my God, this is so sad. You know when, like, it reminded me when you hear of like a celebrity dying and it's kind of sudden, like you're just like, for a moment, like you, it's like an existential crisis. Like, I remember I felt that when I heard that Kobe Bryant had died, mm-hmm. because Leslie Jordan was only 67 and he's just like a very present figure on social media. And it's just like, I'm shocked.
Yeah.
And I was so confused as to how he died. I assumed it was like a, you know, a medical thing. And then it was a car crash and a medical thing. So I'm just, this is really sad. Like, honestly, PJOM, like real true PJOM.
True PJOM. I hopefully will get more details in the following days of what exactly happened. There's pictures of the car crashing into like the side of a building. So I think the speculation that he had a medical emergency,
like a stroke or something.
Yeah. Is probably correct.
Yes. Yeah, so sad.
So sad.
I was so shocked when I read this. Like, I was like, wait, like the words weren't generating, like computing in my brain. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I have that sometimes, like when something, I just get like crazy news. Like the words aren't making sense in English.
Yeah.
You know?
No, I do.
It's really sad. And I feel like a lot of people like were really big fans of him. So rest in peace.
Rest in peace. Our next story, Taylor Swift dropped some content for the Swifties. She transformed into Cinderella for a sparkling, bejeweled video. She said, "This video is wild, whimsical, and created specifically for you, my beloved fans, who have paved this shimmering path."
Let's talk about the video. It was really important because Taylor, it was like a play on Cinderella. She had three evil stepsisters, played by the Haim sisters, an evil stepmother, played by Laura Dern, who was excellent.
Hiya Dern.
And Taylor played the wench, which was really like thrilling.
It was big for wenches everywhere.
It was big for the wench community. The wench
we are firm
leaders in. So I was so, and like they said the word wench like two or three times in the video and I was just like living for it because wench has become one of my favorite words. Like,
they said another word that we love, weasel.
Yes, and they said another word that we love. I was just thinking it. She said, "Lest we forget."
Yeah.
So it was like kind of like a toasty music video.
It was quite toasty.
And the premise of the video
and of course, Dern.
Is that there's like this ball and, you know, there's a talent competition and the person who wins the talent competition gets a proposal from the prince and a key to a castle. Obviously, Taylor, you know, sneaks out of the house, goes to the talent competition, wins and denies the proposal but takes the castle, queen. It was star-studded. Dita Van Teese was in it, Pat McGrath was in it, Jack Antonoff, Laura Dern, and the Haim sisters. But for me, what I really took away from the music video was like, I think this is the first time ever that I've seen Taylor be like sexy in a bikini. She's like always been very conservative and she talks about that a lot in her documentary. And it's not for the reasons one might think. It's just like, it's just not something she's ever really been comfortable doing.
When is
she wearing a bikini? The burlesque show, she's wearing a diamond bikini.
It's not like high-waisted stuff?
No. She's wearing many different outfits, but one of them is a bra and undies, but like they're bedazzled.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
So it was just like kind of crazy. Like now that I think about it, I've seen her in a bikini once in these blurry pictures when she was staying in Lenny Kravitz's RV, remember? On the beach, her and Joe.
Well, because people think she doesn't have a belly button, but her belly button is seen here.
She looks amazing. I just felt like it was so crazy. Like she's just not that girl.
Yeah.
Like, I loved it. She looked incredible. And like the aesthetic of the video, which was like very 50s glamour, burlesque, bejeweled, big martini glasses, Dita Von Teese, side parts. It was amazing. And I loved it. I was just like really shook at like the body. I mean, her body's incredible, but like we've never seen it.
Yeah.
That's just not what Taylor does, because she's like this, she's always been like this conservative girly, like Red Era, wearing like Keds and below the knee skirts.
For sure. And yes, this is probably the most skin we've seen from her, but it's still like a fashion bikini. Like there, it's more covered than like a,
it's still sexy.
Triangle bathing suit.
Yeah, but it's still like sexy.
It's sexy, sure.
It's a sexy baby. She looks so good. Like really, it was a really beautiful music video. And of course, there's like so many Easter eggs. I think a lot of people, for them, this video pretty much confirmed that the next re-recording is Speak Now.
Because someone said, don't speak it, like Laura Dern said in the beginning.
Laura Dern said something in the beginning. In the beginning, before the music video starts, they're actually playing Enchanted in the background. Yes. When she gets in the elevator, she goes to the third floor.
Oh, I thought it was because of 13.
No, but there are 13 floors in the building, of course. Then she's wearing clips in her hair that say TS, and then again it says SN. Oh. So I don't think she was really trying to be coy. Like, I think she's like being like, yeah, Speak Now is next, which is super exciting. Obviously, I was hoping for 1989, but like, it's okay. And I have to imagine that the version of Enchanted that was at the beginning, which was very low and difficult to hear, is Taylor's version, right?
Yeah, if she's sampling it, right, then there's
gonna,
a version.
She's not gonna pay Scooter.
No.
So it was just a really stunning music video. She went on Jimmy Fallon last night to like tease it and get everyone excited, and she looked great. She's just like, this is a really like stunning era for her. She looks so good and tall and happy and healthy, and I'm just loving it. Really, truly loving it.
Yeah. The aesthetics are great.
And the music videos have been really premium. I really like the anti-hero one. That one wasn't as like glamorous. It was very like introspective. Like, because the whole concept of the album is like things that keep you up at night. And I think for a lot of people, like everyone has like these insecurities about the way other people perceive them. And so she had these three different versions of herself that she feels like other people see her as. And I guess I never really put together, but like, she's a really tall girl. And I guess tall girls are like insecure about their height.
Tall girl.
Right, unless you're like a model, which most tall girls are not. So she's like this giant version of herself, and the house that she's in is like a dollhouse to her because she's so tall. And I think obviously even if you're not tall, you can relate to that sentiment of like being kept up at night by like your appearance and like what people must see you as.
Yeah, that's how I feel today in these shoes. Like so tall, I'm just like a monster.
Right, like if it was my music video, like my late night version of myself would be like a big hairy moly beast, like because that's like how petrified I am that everyone sees me that way. Do you know what I mean? What would yours be?
Oh, well, now you have me thinking about being short. Like,
being short does not bother me in the slightest.
No, it doesn't. But I do think like people, I think it bothers other people.
Short?
No, about like they look at us and they're like, we're so
short. Well, fuck them.
Yeah. But like, I just feel like it really clouds how people see us, but not how I see myself.
I like seriously don't care. Like, I'd so much rather be short than tall.
Yeah. And that's just, I'm being like small.
And being short is like a cute thing about us, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I don't think, unless you're a guy, but for a girl, I really don't think there's any downsides to being short. Of course, being a tall girl, you're limited in your, you know, dating options because you always want to date someone taller than you. Like
some short girls like want to be taller, especially girls who are like 5'5", and I think they could be models.
Well, yeah.
And then they're like, they lie about their height to be taller, and it's like, who cares?
No, totally. Height is like not something in my brain that I factor, but you're right that it is for other people, but maybe it's because everyone is taller than us. Like, it's never mattered.
Yeah, I'm just like, this is how I see the world, literally, and I'm fine with it.
Same, and like, when I take pictures with people, and like, I'm the shortest one, like, great, I'm so tiny and small and frail, I love it.
Yeah.
So the music videos have been fabulous. She did release a teaser, like, before, oh, it was an Amazon Prime, the Thursday Night Football thing, of all the music video, like, things that she's going to be doing, and there were clips in there that aren't in the anti-hero video and that aren't in the Bejeweled video, so there's more coming.
That's good. Yeah. I wish, like, it's a lot to digest in 1 week. Like, I wish that these were singles and that we had time to process and enjoy because it's a lot.
So I actually am.
She's like flipped the model.
Yeah. From her on herself. Yeah.
Yeah. But like, and it's cool to like be a flipper.
There's a conspiracy theory that this is a visual album, kind of how like Formation and every song has a video.
Cool. Like, I just could have used some time.
Yeah. Well,
time,
now.
Time, curious time. Give me no compasses. Give me no signs.
Now that we've had like a decent amount of time, I've definitely made more of, I'm able to see the album, not as just like a medley of songs and lyrics, but differentiating one from another. And there are many songs that I'm really, really into. I think currently You're On Your Own Kid is probably my favorite. Again, because it's just so deeply introspective. Like, it's, It's so on point. It's funny how like we're all so different, but at night, like we're all kept up by the same things.
Yeah.
No matter how big or small, like everyone worries about their family. I think when you get to a certain age, you worry about your parents. Like you, like we're all the same, you know?
Yeah. And you also worry about like how you're coming off to other people.
And what you look like and the people in your life. Like we all really have the same problems. And that's what I learned from the album. So I love You're On Your Own, Kittle. That one's like a lot about like how other people see you and like your body. I love The Great War and I love Bejeweled. Like it's such, that's, we made it, our TikTok, spoiler alert, it was to Bejeweled.
We don't want to ruin it for you.
Yeah.
But I think that
would But I've already told you the song and what's in it, so.
And you've seen our outfits. So
but you should still go to my TikTok and watch it.
You should.
Best believe I'm still Bejeweled when I'm, but you know what? With Taylor's albums, I really do feel like it takes me a long time to like get to know them completely. And when they come out, they really make me, like it highlights my favorite albums. And I feel like this is, I've always said like my favorite Taylor album is 1989 and it is, but I think my favorite Taylor album is now Evermore. Now that like we've moved on to the next one.
Mm-hmm.
Evermore is such a work of art. And I feel like it kind of stands in the shadow of Folklore.
Yeah.
Like people like, cream their pants over Folklore.
Not on this show. Not in our world. Like, because Evermore is better than Folklore.
It is. I think Evermore, like, might be her best album, which is, like, kind of crazy to say.
It's so hard because I think it's, like, Evermore, Red, and Fearless. But only because, for me, Fearless, like, just like what it meant time in my life.
Yeah.
You know, what it didn't, like, if in my past. Like, if I listen to all the songs now, like, I don't want to listen to all them right now.
But they remind you of that time in your life.
Yeah, and at that time in my life, they were the best songs I ever heard.
Right, and, like, you were young and free and at camp. Like,
yeah, they were, like, the songs that I needed for that time in my life.
No, totally.
So.
That's the thing. And I feel like this phase that I'm in now, like, it's Evermore.
You're in Evermore phase. Well, you are, like, a few years younger than her, so you're just, like.
A few years behind,
always
right.
trailing. And, if like, when you're 32, you'll be listening to Midnights.
Maybe.
Are you ready for our next story?
Only if it's the next story that's brought to you by Seeds.
It is.
Turns out everything you think you know about probiotics is probably wrong. Like those probiotic tortilla chips, they sounded way too good to be true. Well, the good news is that Seeds DS01 Daily Symbiotic is the real deal. Not all probiotics are created equal. So the Daily Symbiotic from Seeds is a broad spectrum 2-in-1 probiotic and prebiotic. It is a 24 strain broad spectrum probiotic and prebiotic that's formulated for digestive, gut immune, and additional systemic benefits. The capsule in capsule protects against stomach acid, digestion enzymes, and bile salts for viability through digestion. So what does that mean? The live probiotics will actually make it to the end of the small intestine for delivery into your colon. If you've taken a probiotic before and you didn't feel a difference, it's likely because the good bacteria wasn't surviving your GI tract. Seed is designed differently, and that's why it works. It supports benefits in and beyond the gut. So Seed will support the ease of bloating, healthy regularity, ease of evacuation, which means, you know, like duties on their way out, which is really like a journey for everyone, especially like I'm almost 30. I'm having a hard time. But it'll also support your gut barrier, your skin health, your heart health, and your micronutrient synthesis. So basically, there's like an endless list of benefits to taking the Daily Symbiotic. And I feel like a lot of people like dabble in prebiotics and probiotics, and it's like tough to know what's working and what's a good brand. And Seeds is totally a brand that you can trust. And the Daily Symbiotic is a prebiotic and a probiotic in one. And they have sustained delivery every month. So each component of their refill system is designed to protect your DS01 Daily Symbiotic and be gentler on the earth. So if you want to start a new healthy habit today, visit seed.com/toast and use code toast to redeem 20% off your first month of the Seeds DS01 Daily Symbiotic. That's seed, seed.com/toast and use code toast. seed.com/toast code toast to redeem 20% off your first month.
Thank you, McClardia.
You're welcome.
So Katy Perry has suffered
this is twisted
an injury as her eyelid got stuck during her performance at her Vegas residency. Her fans are joking that she suffered a glitch.
Mechanical
failure, they said. But her fans were quick to joke that the usually well-oiled machine suffered a, quote, glitch on Monday night after her eyelid appeared to get stuck during her Las Vegas residency. In footage which has been uploaded to TikTok, the singer could be seen struggling to open one of her eyes in the middle of the show, with many users quipping she suffered a, quote, mechanical failure.
It was really, like, creepy to watch. Like, she has no control over one of her eyelids, and it, like, stays shut, and she tries to open it, and it shuts. It's giving, like, horror movie. It looks really scary. She, like, maybe she's, like, doing too much and going too fast. Like, she needs to see a doctor, and she needs to, like, it was actually really scary. Like, it was, like, a total loss of a motor skill.
Yes.
It was really, like, it, like, people shouldn't be joking about it, even myself. Like, it looked, I'm not a doctor, obviously, but it looked like hella serious.
It did look very serious. Some people are speculating that she had eyelash glue, or was wearing, I saw someone say that there was lash, the magnetic lashes. And so if you put them on the bottom, then the top one can get stuck to the bottom one.
But that's not it.
No. And it seems to be a medical issue. It reminds me of, like, kind of what Justin Bieber, when he had,
yeah, like a paralysis of the face.
Yeah. So it's really scary.
The video's really creepy. Like, it really, it's one of those things that gives you a chill up your spine.
No. And, like, I think when it first came out, people thought it was photoshopped or filtered.
Or like a filter. Yeah.
But I hope she's okay.
Me too. Like, I feel like, I actually kind of want to see her Vegas residency. I've heard it's really good. I feel like she's just, like, doing a lot, you know?
I'm sure it's great. Is that a symptom of doing a lot?
I don't know, but, like, exhaustion. Like, when I get really tired, I do get, like, eye twitches. It looks nothing like that. And you can't even see my eye twitching. It's just, like, in my eyebrow, and it really fucking feels weird. But maybe this is, like, again, I'm not a doctor. I'm probably the furthest thing from a doctor. So this is just my diagnosis, which, again, means absolutely nothing to anyone.
So your diagnosis is doing a lot.
Yeah, my diagnosis, take a rest, you know, take a nap.
Well, diagnosis is see a doctor.
See a doctor,
which
for
I'm sure she is. And, like, yeah, she paused to, like, try and,
she was trying to, like, open her eye. It was really gross.
Like, I think she's probably more shook than anyone else.
Yeah, no, but, like, the video was extremely creepy. Like,
yeah,
it was giving American Horror Story. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just saying, like, it felt really serious.
Yes, it does. I'm sure it's serious to her too.
Time, so curious time, give me no compasses, give me no signs. Sorry, you can't, like, start singing, you know?
Are you ready for our fifth and final story? So quick.
That was quick. Oh my God, we're only...
A couple of them were, like, breeze through, a couple long.
This is going to be our first episode that's under an hour in probably 2 months.
Like, speak too soon, because you never know. Right, we still should start talking about something, and yeah, I could tell you about the next book I want to read.
Oh no. I'm kidding. Oh my God, I thought we were, like, I thought we were at the place where we could joke it, but we're not. Okay.
No, maybe tomorrow.
Yeah, no, like, you're entitled to be, like, sensitive. It's fine.
Thank you.
Yeah, of course. Some things, like, by the way, and actually this is totally serious. Like, sometimes some things just hit you. Like, normally it wouldn't bother you, but whether it's the day or just, like, this one particular issue, like, hits you sideways and, like, you get upset.
Yeah.
I get that.
Sometimes it's just, like, a one particular issue. Maybe it's a buildup of all the other times I spoke.
Okay, calm down.
And all the other mm-hmms I suffered through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, our fifth and final story, a little realist.
Because one thing about me is, like, if someone's talking and telling a story, like, I can't be silent.
No, you really can't. You don't have to.
This is me. Right. Yeah, no.
You don't have to say anything.
I can't. Like, I cannot. I'm like, yeah, yeah. Right. That's what I do. It's really annoying. Is this an old coffee or a new coffee?
An hour.
Oh.
You can have a sip. Oh, no, it's not yesterday.
It's not? Oh.
No.
So, yeah, that's just one thing about me. That's why I'm a mmming. And maybe it was, like, I was a little bored, but maybe, like, I think if you remember that it's something that I do, like, it comes off, like, less patronizing, you know?
It can comfort me during those dark times.
Right, right.
Are you ready for our fifth and final story? A little real estate news. Real Housewives of Orange County star Heather Dubrow is selling Chateau Dubrow for $55 million. Heather Dubrow and her husband, Dr. Terry Dubrow, have reportedly sold their 14-bedroom California mansion for a staggering $55 million. Heather told Entertainment Tonight, "With two kids at college, we've been thinking about our next move. We just bought a cool penthouse in LA, and sometimes the universe shows you the right direction. Change is exciting."
This was the... Now, I think it took the record for the highest in Orange County, the highest residential home sale.
Wow. Yeah.
I mean, it's a sick house.
It really is.
And at least we got, like, one season of it, because she literally left the show as it was being built. And then everyone used to wonder, and she used to, like, make people go to her YouTube channel.
And to us, it feels like she just moved in and now she's moving out, because we only saw one season.
Right.
But they've been living there for a really long time. And it's really not that crazy given how long that they've lived there. And they're... We're always talking about how they would, like, flip properties and move on to the next.
Right, because at the end of the day, like, a home is an investment, no matter how big or small.
Yeah.
And their kids, like, are grown.
And you don't need 14 bedrooms.
No, and, like, Heather and Terry are, like, very much, like, socialites, celebrity thirst monsters. So, like, they should be in LA. They don't need, like, a big old house an hour and a half outside LA. Like, yeah. But what does this mean for her on the show?
What's going on with
in
the
Orange
show?
County? I have no idea. Like Taylor Armstrong is on, and Tamara returns.
Taylor Armstrong is. I think we reported that. Yeah, as a friend, right?
Yeah.
That's a great question.
So maybe I don't know.
Maybe she won't come back.
I mean, they thought it was like going to change everything, and it changed quite literally nothing. So
that's the thing about things. It's like nothing really changes.
No, that's the thing about housewives. Like at the end of the day, it's an ensemble thing. Like no matter, even if you have one amazing housewife, that was kind of like Ladies of London. Like you had Caroline Stanberry, but like some of the other ladies were falling flat.
No. Ladies of London was a perfect show.
You know what I mean? Like it's not a one woman show.
No, it's not.
It's not. So while Heather coming back was a good idea, like they changed nothing else.
Yeah.
Therefore, nothing changed.
Therefore.
Yeah. So good for them. Would love to have just like 55 mil sitting in the bank. So.
And they'll probably go buy some, build some more houses. They like had one in Montana coming up. They were looking in Cabo. Mexico.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that they will buy something else.
Yeah. I'm not worried about them. They do not. They do well for themselves.
Yeah.
I think they'll be just fine. So that was the Fast Five. That was our show.
Pretty fast.
Thank you guys so much for listening to The Toast. Wow. We are back tomorrow for Dear Toasters. There's no TV on tonight, right?
No, Tell Me Lies. Is that
it comes out at midnight.
Okay, like, so tomorrow.
Or we can watch because we have.
Oh, right. Yeah. Oh, yeah, we can watch.
Yeah, we got screeners because we're like celebrity. Like.
But I still have to watch last week, so I'll make time for that today.
Okay.
And then tonight, it's Wednesday.
Tomorrow is Salt Lake City and Beverly Hills.
Oh, because today's Tuesday. I'm so sorry. I'm getting so ahead of myself.
So we have Dear Toasters tomorrow, a little TV recap, and just another fabulous episode back at regular timing. Thank you all so much for listening to The Toast, the Millennium Morning Show, where we deliver the Fast Five stories that you need to know every Monday through Friday on YouTube. So if you're watching this on YouTube, please feel free to subscribe and give this video a thumbs up. We're also available as a podcast anywhere podcasts can be found. So that's Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Public Radio, iHeartRadio, CastBox, all the places where you listen to podcasts. Find us, The Toast, leave a five-star review about a beautiful setting. It's where we are. Hope you guys have an incredible Tuesday, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Bye. Goodbye.